Now, we'll not be long. Let's read, please, in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, diadems, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. That's all I want to read. A word in relation to the coming coronation. Coronation of Christ. When the Roman occupied Israel and Israel as a nation collapsed, John, who wrote after that, uses Roman time and Roman systems in his writings. For instance, in Matthew chapter 6, you have the Savior at the cross at 6 o'clock. However, in John's Gospel, you have him at Pilate. So John uses Roman customs and Roman time. And in this connection, I like to see the verse we've read together. The year was 1952. I was a little fella in Europe, and there was an announcement that in Great Britain, a queen would be crowned. We gathered at the electronic shop for at least 2 hours, and the transmission never came through. I was disappointed. Now, when the grace of God reached and saved me 10 years ago, I am not too interested in a royal wedding. We pray for royalty. We should. There's a royal wedding coming next month. I think, as far as I know, only 2 invitations were sent to Canada, and they were not sent to me. Doesn't bother me. But what I'm interested in, the coronation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be there, and so will I. When the Savior was here, he only wore a crown of thorns. And the Jerusalem thorn is just about that long. The crown of shame, and the crown of pain. And as far as Zechariah is concerned, there's a future coronation. And as far as Epistle to the Hebrews is concerned, he is already crowned, brethren. The Savior is crowned already. Now, I'd like to take it up, as John likely was familiar with. In the Roman army, in the Roman Empire, there were 5 distinct crowns that were given for bravery. The first one was called, I don't expect you to remember it, the diadema, and that's actually the word, the diadema muralis. What was involved? When the Romans attacked a stronghold or fortress, the first man who climbed on the wall, he met tremendous and fierce resistance. The defender threw everything they had at him. Most of them, he died. Most of these people died. And yet, if he survived, it was a psychological thing when he climbed upon the ramparts and came over the wall and lived. He was given a crown. The crown muralis. That takes you to Hebrews chapter 2, doesn't it? We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him now crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Brother, when the Savior went to the cross, even before he met the concerted effort, all his enemies, in life he met the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He met the unbeliever, the Sadducees. He met the sensual Herodians and the enmity of the high priests. There's 1 high priest, 200 chief priests. And about 18,000 priests scattered throughout Israel, of which 7,000 alone operated on the day of, not the Day of Atonement only, but in the Passover. Tremendous amount. But the Savior had constant hostility. And yet, you know, he overcame. He will get this crown. Now the second crown is, I don't think you'll remember the Opsidianalis. Repeat after me. Don't. This crown was given because in the exchange of hostility in the Roman Empire, there were some of these legionnaires, they were taken captive by the enemy forces. When the Roman intelligence found out, they called for volunteers. Men who would risk their lives, who found out where their captives were held in the foreign camp. They had to go behind enemy lines. They had to be skilled soldiers, not afraid of death. And they had to, because Rome expended a tremendous amount of training the soldiers. And each soldier was precious to the Roman Empire. And these men broke through the ranks, usually at night. And they rescued these men, brought them home. So much did these captives, now freed Roman legionnaires, appreciate their freedom. On the way to the Roman camps, they went into the bushes, got leaves from olive trees, wove a little crown and placed it upon their men who emancipated them. And this is what we have here, isn't it? In Romans chapter 6, Paul says, God be thanked, though you were the servants of sin, captivated and kept. Now from your heart you have obeyed this doctrine. Oh, brethren, you appreciate your salvation? I do not know all of you. More or less, we're all given over to bondage. And none but Christ could break it. More or less. In the days when I grew up, we never drew drugs. Totally unknown. But there are other bondage. Mine was, in a way, political. That's all I knew. And then it was what I got from advertisement and movies and one thing and another. And then the gospel came. Did I have to shed a lot of things that were not according to the book? And then ultimately, I found the Savior. He liberated me. Oh, the joy. You know, when I first heard the gospel, all the burden and the grief and the load were gone. A few days later, the brethren in the Bible reading touched about the Lord's coming. I didn't know what that was all about. Until they told me that the Christ who died, the Christ would come back to receive me to Himself. Well, I tell you, I wasn't in a Pentecostal faith like my brother, but I could have gone through the roof tiles and all. Jesus would come. I'd never might see the casket. By the way, your brother talked about eternal security. I tell you something. Now, we may all be different. I never had one single doubt about my eternal security. Never had, right from the day go. You know why? In salvation, I took the eternal authoritative judgment of Christ in relation to my state. Verily, verily, I say unto he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life. That has never changed. And then I had no problem about eternal security. I again took the Savior as the authoritative, eternal Word of God Himself. He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one nor anything can pluck them out of my Father's hand. In fact, I am part of His hand. You see, those who deny eternal security do not accept the authority of Christ and who He is. When I found this out, I said, thank you, Lord, I'll be saved and saved forever. It doesn't mean we do what we like. But you see, some people, you know, their Christianity is crippled because they feel, oh my, I'm going to be lost again if I do something. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 is the answer. So here we have the Lord, the Emancipator. He'll get a crown for emancipating you. Set you at liberty. Think of the poor world round about, brethren. Slaves to money. Slaves to sin. Slaves to immorality. And yet you're free. But you know, it is quite possible that a child of God can be entangled again. That's why Paul says to Timothy, no soldier that wars entangles himself. That means captivate, immobile. You can't move for God simply because there are other things that hold you down. Oh, we all have to make a living. That's understood, isn't it? We come to the third one. And that was called in the Roman system the diadema or the crown triumphalis. And that was given to any general, in this case it was Titus, or any general in the Roman army, which conquered a Roman province and brought it into the Roman Empire. Of course, the advantage was not only slaves, the advantage was taxes. Ultimately, the Jews, Luke 13, they rebelled. 2 Thessalonians, Paul says to the hearers, that the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost at AD 48, when the Romans killed thousands of Jews. Ultimately, the nation collapsed. There are still 1,000 Jews who hid up in the fortress of Masada, and the Romans couldn't go home until the land was cleared. Most of them took their lives, but there was still resistance till 135 A.D. Bar Kokhba. Have you ever heard of Bar Kokhba? Have you? Young man here. You know your history, don't you? Bar Kokhba, the false Messiah, who took 400 guerrilla fighters and hid in the hills of Galilee, and they attacked the Roman garrison, killed them, and vanished just like this. The Romans didn't know where they were. And finally, meter by meter, they looked at the Judean hills and they came upon a goat stable. Soldier kicked away the straw and there was the entrance. I've been in this cave, and actually little city in a sandstone rock. That's where they hid out. And so the fire was lit below. And Bar Kokhba, the false Messiah who tried to bring back the Jewish nation, was killed. That was the last resistance. Well, here, the crown diadema triumphalis. Some years ago, I met an American astronaut. He was saved at 12 years old in Florida. He told me that because of the intense pressure of his military training, testing rockets, rocket planes, and ultimately he was selected to be Apollo 17 commander. Very interesting man. He knew the Lord. But you know something? He told me, Fred, the pressure was so intense in the NASA program, I got clean away from God. Not until he went to the lunar surface. He said, up there I tried to find my home state, Colorado. I couldn't find America. Asia was about the size of my thumbnail, covered by clouds. And the Lord restored me on the moon when I saw His creation from a different perspective. He said, I had no problem to realize what Isaiah and the Revelation teaches sometimes, that God is going to roll up the whole thing. See, when you're up there, you see the earth just about the size of a small apple. This thought, he told me, came to me, O God, how great Thou art. He got restored on the moon. Well, maybe, brother, we should be saving up some money to get there too. I don't know. So here the crown triumphalis. Christ came from a realm experimentally we know very little or nothing. He came to this small earth to occupy for His God. He'll get a crown for that. Look how they treated Him. The greatest, kindest ambassador from heaven came to this earth. Look what He received. Revelation tells you, just like the devil, as soon as he was born, tried to drown with a flood of water. Oppression, difficulty, opposition, and enmity from every hand. And yet he stood firm. Stood firm, ultimately, at the cross. Oh, the wonders of it all, my dear brother. He did that for you. He did that for me. He will receive a crown for having conquered for his God upon this earth. He'll be crowned for it. Now, very briefly, the fourth crown, it's called the Diadema or Corona Valaris. And that was promised to the conqueror of the city of Jerusalem. Titus organized the 10th legion. The enemy always attacked from the north. Why? The walls of the southern temple mounts were 250 feet high, plus 150 feet to the Kidron Valley. Impossible military to conquer from the east and the west and from the south. So they always attacked from the north. The walls were not that high. And when ultimately they breached the defenses, they neared the temple. The priests, loyal to what they had been taught, resisted them. Mercilessly, they killed every one of them. Couldn't care less whether it was made a main priest or whatever functioning priest. Killed every one of them. You see, the Romans figured that the temple was a depository of riches, gold, and all kinds of valuables. And the leading general came out wringing his hands. There was nothing in the most holy place, nothing whatsoever. Oh, the ark had been gone since 586 B.C. Some say it's in Ethiopia. Don't think so. Some say it's in Egypt. Don't think so. Some say it's under the temple. Well, why was it not the most holy place? The ark's been gone since 586. And in the millennium, the ark will be missing. Why? Christ will be there. The ark speaks of himself. Now here the Romans, as a psychological ploy, they climbed the temple. They were under orders not to burn it. And they planted the Roman standard right on the temple. Now that was a psychological ploy. The Jews realized, oh my, we're done for. Here the Romans are, the most sacred structure. You know what it means? I like to think of it this way. When you trusted Christ, young man, young woman, you are now under new management. You are. You belong to Christ. Follow him. Obey him. Recognize the tremendous blessing that God has brought to you. Child of heaven. Child of God. Oh, the dignity. Square your shoulders, will you? We're not just anybody, you know. Sons of God. Oh, the dignity of our standing. Sonship, one of the greatest truths in the Bible. Valaris. Now we come to the last one. And the last one was called Diademus Myrtia. You see, in the service of the Roman army, they were mercenaries. That meant their pay was not great. Their pay wasn't great. So when they conquered a castle or a stronghold, they sometimes were tempted to fill their pockets. And of course, when you had enough money to last you for years, you could fade in the bushes. Desert. It was a death penalty. Nevertheless, the Roman governors, they recognized this temptation. And they promised an additional crown to every soldier in spite of temptation, in spite of difficulty, who stayed loyal in the service of the emperor. Oh, brethren, here we are. Brethren, we know that our journey will almost be over. I mean, as a church. Everywhere I go, there seems to be the conscious realization that the time is not only late, but the coming of the Lord is near. And that's good. And the Lord will give you all a reward for being faithful. Stay, brothers and sisters, in the service of the Master. Up home we have problems with quite a number leaving the local assemblies. I don't understand this. Young men who are brought up in Christian homes, in elders' homes, leaving the gathering. Oh, the Lord help us to be loyal in divine service, to help, to study, and to enjoy the book. For there's going to be a crowning day coming.